This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station. 3 minutes after 9 o'clock, and it's time now for WSMI Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlindale. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Mark Steering, your State Farm Insurance agent in Litchfield. Hillsborough Area Hospital. Kurtz 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing in Litchfield. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. DC Waste and Recycling. Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield. CTI Computers, Huff & Sons Funeral Homes, and by Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. And on the 6th day of October, here's WSMI's Tim Mize. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Terry Toto. Are you sure it's not the 6th day of July? Because, my gosh.
It sure feels like more July than it does October. That's for darn sure.
I am over these 90-degree days, I'll tell you that.
Well, I think, looking ahead, high of 63 next Friday.
There we go. Now we're talking.
And lows in the 40s.
It only took to the 8th week of the high school football season to get to normal weather.
And that's highly unusual.
It really is. Yeah, it is. So 7 weeks of the high school football season in the books. Going to catch up with Carlinville head coach Chad Easterday in just a moment here. As last night, the Carlinville Cavaliers rolled into Vandalia and absolutely hammered Vandalia, 64-28. So Carlinville has played two state-ranked teams on the year, crushed Pena, 49-12, crushed Vandalia, 64-28, and they have Staunton and Greenville left on their schedule to try and complete that perfect 9-0 regular season. Just an awesome display last night from the Cavaliers. Of course, that was our live broadcast feature. Our second broadcast feature last night was a matchup of two 3-3 teams as Staunton beat Gillespie 55-14, as the Bulldogs now have a really good opportunity to make the postseason here in 2018. And joining us on the phone right now is Carlinville head football coach Chad Easterday. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing fantastic, and I would imagine that was one fun bus ride home from Vandalia last night.
Yeah, it was a long one. That's a long trip over there. So, when you come out with a win and no injuries and the execution level that we had, very proud of the kids. So, it was a good bus ride home.
And, Chad, I know you don't necessarily care about state rankings, but you've played two state-ranked teams this year, and you throttled both of them.
Yes, two very good teams, very deserving of their rankings, and was very pleased just with our execution. And, the Telegraph asked me last night about the whole, that kind of case scenario, and I just think it's understated that our coaching staff and our football IQ of our kids and what they can absorb and that type of thing, I think that's what makes us potent this year. And I'm just proud of our work ethic across the board from top to bottom.
And it's not to take anything away from any of the other teams in the South Central Conference, because they're terrific teams, but you guys just seem to be operating at an extremely high level.
Yeah, I thought Vandalia was, very good. They're going to win a couple playoff games, if not more than that, and we could see a rematch there, the way the ISSA works out. But, last night I was very, very pleased with our ability to get in and out of different situations and defensively matching up and changing formations and that type of stuff. So, was very pleased overall.
Yeah, I mean, Vandalia is a good football team. And, Chad, they really didn't stop you all night. Your one punt was because you had a dropped pass on third down that would have converted a first down.
I think we had some things that they, matchup-wise, was hard for them to do. And it kind of wore on them a little bit, and I think that always helps us with our defense, because I think sometimes teams have to concentrate so hard on stopping us and making sure that they can contain all of us meaning the weapons that we have on offense. I think sometimes that gets overwhelming for kids, and it puts a stress level on you all the time that you have to keep up with the score.
I mean, I don't know if the defense had 13 or 14 defenders, they still might not be able to slow you guys down, Chad, because if you key on Dixon, Ambule burns you. You got Ethan Wallace dealing with a high ankle sprain. Tucker Hughes is back from his hamstring for the first time last night. And then here comes Colton DeLong.
Yeah, we kind of found Colton. He had filled in as a running back as a freshman. And, we obviously have a great group of seniors, and we ended up with two injuries. And, you know, Tuck's hamstring was really good, feeling really good last night. We really needed him on defense, and Colton filled in there, and lo and behold, we found another one. So, you know, we never lacked for running back in Barnumville in my career, so maybe I should knock on wood or something crazy like that. But, you know, I was very proud of them. He stepped up, and we, you know, that whole Bill Belichick next man up thing, and it really worked.
And Chad, we mentioned last night on the broadcast, we're talking about Kyle Dixon, and no matter the sport, everybody focuses on offense, and your offense is unbelievable in so many different ways. But Kyle Dixon, I think we just lost Chad. Kyle Dixon started, remember, as a sophomore on that defensive team that went to state. And Chad, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought we lost you there for a second. But Kyle Dixon started for you as a sophomore on defense when you went to state. And then last night, in a situation where the game is still close at 22-13, he made an unbelievable play to run an interception back. I called it 97 yards. It might have been 99 yards. Whatever it was, Chad, it changed the game.
You know, you're exactly correct. Coach Steiner got us in a different coverage that snap, and Kyle's Kyle. You know, it reminded me of that play he made at St. T where he started at 6 yards and ended up at 34 and catches the ball and takes the thing to the house. So, you know, he's a very unique player. It's one of those that you look back in your coaching career and you only get a couple opportunities to coach a kid like him. And it was a great play and really swung the game for us, I felt like. They had momentum and was driving, had done a few things that we weren't ready for, as well as we thought we were prepared. Everyone tries to, you know, they're going to bring their A game for us. And I was very happy to see him come up with that play at that point in time.
And we all know that you love to get the football to start the third quarter. And last night we saw why. You get the pick six, so that changes the momentum. And then you score on the first play of the second half. And if there was any doubt after the Dixon pick six, there was none left after Jared found Ambuehl.
I'll tell you what, Jared did a great job. They had made some halftime adjustments, went to a little bit different defensive structure, and he got us checked into something different, and I was upset, to be honest with you, for about 5 seconds that he had checked it to something else, and then all of a sudden Ambuehl takes off down the sideline. So, you know, he did the right thing, and it just was a great play, and once again, the system holds true, and everyone stayed the course, so to speak, and I know Terry's probably grinning from ear to ear when I say that sort of stuff, but, you know, it's what we do. I know people get so tired of hearing it, and I get so tired of saying it sometimes, but I just am really happy that our kids have bought into it, that we have 11 coaches out there, 11 assistant coaches, and, you know, those things at halftime that nobody sees. You know, hey, coach, have you thought of this? And younger in my career, I would have been really upset and pissed off, or excuse me, upset at that, but I'm not. So I was really happy to see our kids.
And, Chad, I thought last night your offensive line, once again, just phenomenal. I did not realize until I was told last night, Jared hasn't been sacked all year. How is that possible?
I hope that's not a jinx, but, yes, he has not been sacked all year. So the five guys up front have done a phenomenal job all year of protecting him, and I think people lose track and saw last night that they also are capable of run blocking.
Yes.
And we haven't had to do that a lot, but we were able to pound the ball at them at certain times of the game, and it really wears on them, wears on your opponent when you can do both.
And, Chad, you just always keep your opponents guessing because Carl and I, we were surprised. You guys came out and ran the ball, established that run on the very first drive, and that really did set a tone.
Well, it's always a pleasure to see, and then what – schemes that people are going to come up with to stop Kyle Dixon and Jake Ambuehl and those types of things. So, you know, the boxes, the defenses that were given to us were run defenses. So we checked into runs and got some good blocking up front, and Colton did a good job. So, you know, it is what it is, and we take what they give us.
And that's fascinating, Chad, because so it wasn't necessarily your plan to come out and run, but when the offensive unit got out on the field, they took what the defense gave, and that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, it's exactly what I'm saying. So, you know, it's a matchup thing. So if we get the right matchups and the right situations and those types of things, and, you know, that goes the credit to all of our kids because they're capable of those types of things. And I think that reverts back to their football IQ and Jarrett being able to do that. So, you know, I was just very proud of them again.
So last night, as you guys were in the process of just destroying Vandalia on the home field, I asked Carl DeBar, my broadcast partner, what is Carlinville's weakness? He paused for a moment. I said, I'll give you a moment to think about that. Next play, of course, a 58-yard touchdown. After I got done calling that, I said, Carl, weakness? What is it? And he thought about it for a moment, and literally, all he could say was, I don't know, you know, maybe they don't punt the ball consistently great. I said, yeah, because they never do it.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think if you ask us our weakness, I'm going to tell you Coach Easterday. Sometimes I get in the way of just letting kids be athletic kids on the field, and we try very hard not to coach over too much, and I'm an X and O guy. I'm up early with coffee, and I got paper, and I got a pencil, and something always looks good on paper and pencil. And sometimes, I had an old basketball coach told me at one time, just do what we do and do it well. And sometimes I screw that up by getting too complicated, I think, at times.
There's an old saying there, Chad, the more you overthink the plumbing, the easier it is to stop up the drain.
Yes, you know, Terry, I've been around a long time with that sort of philosophy, and, you know, sometimes you just need to step back and let the kids be, and when you have good kids and you have those types of kids and they can do what we do, then don't stand in their way. Don't hinder them. Help them. So, you know, we've really worked hard on that and tried to work on fundamentals. You know, we tackle on Monday, and I know Mize has asked me what we do different, but Monday we're going to tackle, and Monday we're going to throw that little quick screen out there about 50 times, and Kyle's caught it probably a million, and we're going to do 50 more on Monday, so, hopefully just keep doing what we're doing, and hopefully we'll get the results that we have.
Hey, man, it works. And, you know, you always say people get tired of hearing it. But you know what doesn't get tired? Winning and winning consistently. And that's what you've been doing for a long, long time, Chad. I mean, it's remarkable. We talked about it. You get everybody's best shot every single week. And every single week your team is prepared for the challenge. And next week you go to Staunton. The Bulldogs will have a chance to basically become playoff eligible by picking up their fifth win next week. The problem is the Cavaliers are coming to town.
Well, I'll tell you what, I haven't watched much of them. I had them against Vandalia last week, but we didn't break down that side of the football. But, you know, they've consistently have their program has grown the last 4 years. And, you know, they have a great group of seniors with 20, and their skill set players are very athletic and those types of things. So, you know, we'll enjoy this morning and get to work this afternoon and make sure that we have our game plan ready and that type of thing. So keep our goal board what it is and just go from there.
Sounds great. Chad, awesome victory last night, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Chad Easterday, the head coach of the Carthenville Cavaliers, as they beat Vandalia last night 64-28.
They beat him. They whooped him.
Terry, Vandalia is one of the toughest places to play. Great atmosphere.
Well, was my next comment. People don't realize there are certain places in the South Central Conference you go, and it's a pit to have to go there and play, and Vandalia is one of those. Payne is another one, you know, and these are two teams that the Cavaliers have just mauled.
Yeah, so. I say unbelievable, but is it really? No, it's not.
You know, maybe the point differential,
yes,
might be the overwhelming factor, but picking up the victories, no, not at all.
No,
at
I mean, all. So it's just, they're just, I mean, systematically destroying
and
people.
The level of trust, and, you know, this comes across when you hear Chad talk, the level of trust he has for those kids, because he talked about, you know, how things sometimes get changed at the last second. Just the level of trust that he has is absolutely amazing.
Right.
So.
You know, and he says that he considers himself the weakness.
No.
I mean, he consistently has his team prepared. You don't see them beat themselves. They don't make mistakes that you see a lot of high school football teams make.
Well, the thing that's great about great teams is the fact that, number one, they don't beat themselves, but number two, they're able to make adjustments. They're able to make adjustments within the game itself. And, you know, not every game is going to go according to Hoyle as far as what you drew up on the chalkboard, so to speak. So, the ability to make adjustments is really, you know, an amazing thing to be able to do with high school kids.
How far can they go this year? It's going to be
I think we're probably going to have several weeks of playoff football.
I would think
that would be very enjoyable for us.
I think that just might be.
Yeah.
We need to get to a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Hillsborough head coach Aaron Duff. Another crushing loss for the Toppers last night as Greenville beat them late 26-20. We'll talk to Duffy on the other side of the break.
Don't forget Fighting Illini football, 10 o'clock this morning. The Illini at Rutgers. You can catch it all live on WAOX 105.3. The Ox. Now back to WSMI's Tim Eyes.
Terry Tote, thank you very much. And last night, another crushing loss for the Hillsboro Hilltoppers as Greenville beat the Toppers 26-20. And Aaron Duff joins us on the phone right now. And Duffy, my goodness, I guess just some years are unfortunately like the year that the Toppers are going through right now.
Yeah, it seems like it. I mean, we played a heck of a ball game last night. But both teams did. It was a great game. You know, it's, you know, that old cliche. I felt our kids won everywhere except the scoreboard last night. We played really good football, against a good team. You know, it's going to go to the playoffs. They scored a minute and a half left, and, we drove a little ways there, but we had, possession time. We grounded out, and, really proud of our guys. We played really good last night.
And Duffy, just, unfortunately, sometimes this is the ugly side of sports, to where you can basically, through the last 4 weeks, you have done absolutely enough to win those games, but it hasn't happened for you. It just has to be so frustrating for you as a coach, disappointing for the kids.
Yeah, you know, our kids are putting in a lot of hard work, and they would like to see the W come, you know, from that. But, man, our kids had a great attitude afterwards. You know, the kids said that, you know, that the record, when we talk on the field, they said, yeah, we're 1-6 now. But he goes, our atmosphere and our family type thing is great. And that was our seniors talking last night. So we're working hard. We're doing some really good things. You know, when you got some of those guys that are, you know, first year varsity experience, some young guys playing, some of those bounces don't go your way. You know, we're looking for one. We had a fumble on a fourth down that we were driving late. You know, just those couple little things. But our kids played a lot of heart.
Now, if you've been around this business for a long time, you are 1-6, but you guys might be the best 1-6 team I've ever seen.
Yeah, I told the kids that last night. I used with a little bit different words, but I said, you know, we're pretty tough to beat at 1-6. We've lost three games and each one by a touchdown. You know, we're there. I just can't tell you how much Ivan at 1-6. Yeah, I'm upset, but this year has been really fun for me to coach because of our kids' attitudes. Mm-hmm. Last night was a blast. We were in a war with Greenville. You know, a little history there. But when I used to coach there, it was a blast last night, and we had a great crowd again supporting our kids.
And that really has turned into a nice rivalry between you and Greenville. And it seems no matter what the situation is, that is always a game that comes down to it.
Yeah. The past several years, it has. You know, last night was another one. It was an awesome game. It was a I wanted, my philosophy last night was try to keep the ball out of, you know, Greenville's offense. Mm-hmm. So they weren't on the field. We went double tight, a lot of unbalanced lines, and our kids stepped up to the challenge, and we just ended up on the short end.
And, you know, Duffy, we talk about it all the time on this program about high school sports. Everybody wants to win, but it's more than wins and losses. Sometimes fans can get a little frustrated or short-sighted. We're 1-6. But the process you guys are going through is going to pay dividends for your football teams in the future, and the way that you've talked about the attitudes of these young men on their team, that is going to help them in life moving forward.
Yeah, we have mentioned that, you know, and connect football to life sometimes. You know, you're going to have struggles. It's how you react to them, how you persevere through them. And, you know, we're having to persevere right now. We got two more weeks, and, you know, I told them we just got to keep going. It's the same thing in life. You know, trust me, we want to win. All our coaches, we want to win. And with coaching football, you got to wait a whole week to play. So that whole week's a little bit of hell on you. But the other things that are going on is really great for our football team.
And Duffy, obviously you can't put the cart before the horse. But when you look at the schedule, you got Southwestern and Litchfield the next 2 weeks. So you have a chance here to end on a high note.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think we have better chances, you know, compared to the last couple games we played. But, man, you know, you never know about high school kids. So we got to stay focused. We got to go to Piasaw and get it done. And, you know, one game at a time, even though there's only two left. But we got to stay focused for this week for Piso.
Duffy, always appreciate your class, not only on Saturday mornings, but especially on Saturday mornings when you talk to us, sir. Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time.
Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers. 1-6.
Oh,
come on.
And you're right. He probably the best 1-6 team, maybe in the state of Illinois.
My goodness.
Yeah, yeah. And Duffy does such a great job. He's such a great guy. And he talked about the great attitude that the seniors have and everything. And maybe the win-loss record's not going to reflect a lot of the positives the team has. But that's certainly going to spread into the lower class. The juniors, sophomores, all the way down, and you know they're going to come back next year. That all feeds into the program and all feeds into the future. So.
Yeah, it stinks for the seniors.
Yeah, it does.
But boy, for the kids, like you said, who are coming back next year, that is going to feed a hunger in them this off season.
And wouldn't you Southwestern better be ready for the top?
Look out,
because I tell you. I bet they...
Coming in hot.
Yeah. I bet so. I bet so. Yeah.
Hey, let's run down some scores from Week 7 of the high school football season. We told you Carthenville beat Vandalia 64-28. Staunton topped Gillespie 55-14. The Comets scored late, beat the Toppers 26-20. Roxana shut out Litchfield 40-0. And Pena beat Southwestern 37-6. In the Sangamo Conference last night, a couple of great games. Pleasant Plains scored late and beat North Mac 21-14. Maroor Forsyth had to come from behind to beat Athens 21-20. Look out for Athens in the 1A playoffs coming up. Auburn blanked Riverton 54-0. Williamsville over New Berlin 39-20. And Porta beat Pittsfield 50-21. In the Prairie State Conference, Wood River continued to roll along. They beat South Fork 20-6. Alta Marquette beat Dupo 56-30. And remember, for Nokomis, this was South Mac week.
Yeah.
So Nokomis picked up a forfeit win. They are 4-3 on the year, still alive for the postseason. In the WIVC South, Greenfield Northwestern beat Calhoun 40-21 and Carrollton over North Green 60-8. In the WIVC North, state-ranked teams squared off, and Concord Triopia handed Beardstown their first loss 35-34. They're both now 4-1 in league play. Camp Point Central, also 4-1 in league. They beat Brown County 35-0. And Jacksonville Rout beat Minden Unity 36-26. In the Mississippi Valley Conference, Jersey beat Triad 12-7. Highland over Waterloo 56-14. And Muskuta beat Civic Memorial 49-13. In the Apollo Conference, Taylorville beat Mattoon 54-17. And Mount Zion over Charleston over Mount Zion 34-27. In non-conference play, Woodstock North beat Lincoln 41-6. In the Central State 8, Chatham Glenwood over Normal U High 49-21. Glenwood still unbeaten on the year. SHG beat Eisenhower 62-14. Southeast over Jacksonville 44-14. And Decatur MacArthur beat Lanphier 48-15. In the Central Illinois Conference, Central A&M beat Clinton 31-23. St. Teresa over Sullivan Ocall Valley 66-0. Shelbyville topped Macon Meridian 36-20. And Tuscola over Warrensburg Latham 35-21. In the Little Ocall Valley Northwest Conference, Argenta Orienta beat Arcola 22-9. Cerro Gordo Bement over Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond 41-34. And Decatur Lutheran beat Sangamon Valley 42-21. And in the Cahokia Conference, Breeze Central handed Columbia their first loss, 28-24. Freeburg beat Trenton Westland 49-9, and Salem over Carlisle, 15-9. Couple of games today out of the Prairie State Conference at 2 o'clock. It'll be Pawnee traveling to Madison. And in the Central State 8th Conference, 2 o'clock kick, Rochester will be at Springfield High. We're only halfway through here on Sports Saturday. Of course, golf sectionals start on Monday, and the Hillsboro boys golf team, they have had a phenomenal season. They have their eyes squarely on the state championship this year, and Terry and I earlier this morning were able to talk with Hillsboro head golf coach Jeff Eichhoff. We will bring you that conversation when Sports Saturday returns following these messages. Joining us on Sports Saturday right now is Hillsboro Boys Golf Coach Jeff Eichhoff. And Coach, thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time this morning.
Yeah, we appreciate the invite.
Well, you guys have obviously had an awesome year, and it's not a surprise season by any stretch. You guys were expected to dominate, and every time I see your scores, you've done exactly that.
Yeah, they've had a great year. We came out of this summer, or out of last year, thinking that we had a pretty good chance for this year. It was good right off the bat to see some teams that beat us and challenged us and kind of gave us a more insight into what we have to do and not get ahead of ourselves for the rest of the year. So Port Byron looks very good again, and St. Anthony's, which we felt had lost some players, did great. They're very, very deep and good. So that was a great way to start our season, and to see that and compete against them, beat them a couple times, lose a couple times, and it's been good.
You know, one thing that the lower level of sports competition does not always predict success at the upper level, but certainly the golf team here has proven that success at the lower level does mean success at the upper level.
Right, they have, for sure, for sure.
As you look, obviously, golf is an individual sport, but to be good as a team, you have to have, obviously, four great scores every match. So talk about your team as a whole. Obviously, the Alexes, Eichhoff, and White have been phenomenal all the way through, but it's more than a two-man show.
Right. No, losing Tony Perfetti and Caden White last year, Dane had already started to fill those shoes, Dane Huber had, and so our first two scores with the Alexes are typically getting us ahead of the other two teams, and when we have the third and fourth score, I think we're tough to beat. We're tough to beat, and Wilson Hamby has done the same thing that Dane Huber did in previous year, which is a knock, you know, 5 to 7 off of his average, especially in the 18-hole realm. So that's the fourth score that we've that we really need to be around 82, 83, and we're getting that more times than not. Earlier in the season, we had different contributions, and then from Owen Molloy popping in there with some great scores from time to time, and then just this week at regional, he had his best score of the season. So it's going to mean a lot to Wilson and to the rest of the team. I mean, it just filters down. When you have more options, it's just better. It takes more weight off the Alexes. Their matches can be a little bit tighter, I guess, from that standpoint. But when you got teams that have six players that can break 80, it's tough. You know, it's tough. So we gotta beat our match, our head-to-head matchup. Sometimes one of the players has to beat the other significantly to be able to maintain it. So, and then on the sixth spot, we have Tad Daniels and Dominic Haggard, and we've bounced around the lineup in that several times, but they're capable of shooting low 80s. Dominic's a freshman, so still learning the whole process. Very capable individual to do it, but there's just it's a lot of pressure joining a team like that. But he's done a good job with it, and as he matures, it'll only get better.
You mentioned a lot of pressure joining the team like that, but when you have the leadership that you have on the team, that tends to put everybody in a more relaxed state, I would think.
Yeah, it does. It does. It was it's funny you bring that up, because with the seniors, you know, this class had always had those seniors for all previous years, Tony and Caden, and we came in this year, and our first practice, everybody just kind of looked at it. It's just kind of weird, you know. So the juniors, or this year's juniors, had always done their thing, but it was always under the tutelage of someone else, you know. I more or less spoke to the seniors, and then they filtered it down to the rest of them. But, you know, so as far as leadership this year's go, I don't think anybody's singled themselves out as who's going to lead it, but it's kind of a group consensus among them, you know, and they really – on the lesson tee, on the golf course, on the practice green, whatever it is, they really try to push each other. And when we have somebody that's maybe not contributing as well or down, et cetera. It's a group thing. I mean, they're all entitled to go ahead and prod and poke and get better of somebody.
And that really makes for a very good environment on a team. And you talked about you have six that have the ability to break 80, but the Alexes have the ability to go under par each and every time that they take the course. So just talk a little bit about both of the Alexes. Obviously, you're very familiar with one of them.
Yeah.
But what is it about their games? Are they similar games? Are they different games? Just kind of talk about their golf games kind of overall and what makes them so darn good.
I think they both have. Alex White has extremely good hands in his short game, etc. And last year we were fighting a shot. We were fighting a hook shot that was really hurting him. You know, from a standpoint of not every golf hole you see is going to be one that you like.
Right.
And if we could just manage to have a go-to shot to be able to play in those situations to keep our round going, because 14, 15 good holes and a few bad ones. So since last year we started working on a fade, and I think he's embraced that off the tee, and he really has a go-to shot now that he can hit more times than not. We don't get the one that starts left and goes left occasionally. Mm-hmm. So
I know all about that.
Yeah, so he's so I think from that standpoint, he is just playing more holes from the right spot. He's not as concerned about the miss, and it's just a little less stressful for his golf. And, you know, he, at 6,300 yards, the length they're playing, 6,400 yards, I guess, that the kids are playing, it's not a distance issue at all. So the more holes we're in play and we're playing from the fairway, then the better chances they're going to have. So that has probably been the single most thing I've seen out of Alex's actual game, Alex White's, that has really taken him to a better level. You know, and maturity is something they're all getting every year. So you can really see the poise, a lot more poise this year than in the past. So,
and the Eichhoff kid.
And my kid. Yeah. he's worked hard, all year. All summer, making some changes to his game, having some different, input from an instructor other than me. Mm-hmm. And, he has, gained length off the tee. He's a big kid. He's driving it better. And, you know, I had several rounds in the 60s at summer tournaments, and, confidence breeds confidence. And it's been fun to watch. He's always been a good player that scrambled and grinds hard to get the most out of his rounds, and his fairway numbers are up. And now, when he scrambles, it's because he's already under par or right around there, and he's able to keep the rounds going. And so it will be fun to watch those guys go ahead and compete the next Monday and at the state tournament. And they've always been the Alexes, and they've always been on the radar. So it'll be good.
Talk to us a little bit about, we know the mental toughness part has to be there, but as the kids mature, their bodies change. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means you have to alter a stance, maybe a grip, small things that people just don't think about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the kids are changing. Last year Alex White had grown and made some changes, and the length came along pretty good. This year it was Dane Huber, he was already at a level where he could play at those yardages, but now it's much more comfortable for him. But yeah, you start doing some things differently with how the club moves because there's a big growth spurt by any means. So, but mentally, you know, you touched on that, and the kids are just, golf's an individual game. So the moment doesn't matter to me. And that's what I've always tried to impress upon them, is that with whatever it is, whether it's a dual match tomorrow or sectional or state, we always concentrate on doing the exact same thing. We always concentrate on our process, routine, and committing. And so committing is a big thing that we talk about. So don't ever take a scared swing. Be ready to hit the shot, commit to it, and that's all you can do. And then they start to realize that the what doesn't that involve, and that doesn't involve what I did on the last hole if it was a bad hole. That doesn't involve who am I playing against. It doesn't matter. Is it sectional, state, or a dual meet? And really, that's what you want them to do, because you really want them, every shot's important, the next shot's the most important shot, and you just want them to understand that. And then hopefully we've fed that into their heads enough now to where when they go and play in the next, you know, the next week in the postseason, that it just feels natural and comfortable just to get into the shot and do the same thing, and whether it's Tiger Woods or St. Anthony's or whatever it might be, it's just the next shot. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So,
Jeff, you touched on it briefly, but in a lot of ways in golf, well, not in a lot of ways, really in every way, you're playing the course. That is your opponent, the course. So as you prepare to go to Effingham Country Club this morning for your practice round, you've played there before, I do believe.
No.
You have not played there before.
No. None of these guys have played there. Effingham's hosted a few things like at Windsor, and then a JV match in town at a different course, but this will be our first look at it.
Okay, so that's very interesting. And mm-hmm. So this practice round today becomes very important, because as you said, sometimes a hole just doesn't fit your eye, yeah. It just doesn't fit what you're trying to do. So talk about the importance of today for your entire team to kind of get a feel for this golf course.
Sure, so today we'll just go around and we'll let the kids we'll talk about what the hole is maybe calling for. So we're not the type of team that will have the drivers out as we walk up to the tee box. We usually like to look at it, see what's going on, play the hole backwards. So if it's not fitting their eye, we'll help them back up to a club off the tee that isn't so conservative that it leaves them an impossible shot in on the second one, or too difficult of a shot. 'Cause at some point you just got to, you have to face it and try to hit a good shot, regardless of whether you like it or not. But we will back down. We'll try to identify, you know, for some of the kids, it's better to go ahead and identify a hole that a bogey's okay on. And, so that they don't feel the pressure that, you know, the bogey's bad, you know, it's not on some of them. So if you're going to be able to shoot our 80 or 83, there's obviously going to be some bogey holes in there. And I just identify where we can keep that to a 5 instead of a 6. And, that keeps the rounds going. It keeps the scores lower. So, I played the course a long time ago. I don't remember a whole lot of it. It's in nice condition. Danny Baker was there with the girls regional, this week. He said things are good. We expect the greens to get a lot faster between now and then. And, so that would probably be the biggest thing, you know, for us. Just make sure if it's at a speed that we're not used to seeing around here, then we may go up, Sunday night and, just do some putting and chipping on the greens and get ready for Sunday, because as you all know, I mean, speed of the greens, when you add another foot to the pace of the greens, it's going to make that 3-footer, a 4-footer, a 5-footer, and you get on the wrong side of the hole, you're going to have some of those. So we don't want our 5-footers for bogeys to be on, you know, we don't want to stress 6, put it
right.
That way. So,
yeah,
so yeah, learning the greens, the pace is on my mind. Yardage-wise, again, all our kids can handle the length that they will be playing it at. So it's just making good decisions off the tee so that we can be up by the green and chances to make par.
Jeff Eichhoff, thank you so much for coming in this morning, talking to us about the Topper golf season, and best of luck on Monday, sir.
Hey, we're looking forward to it. Thank you again.
That was Jeff Eichhoff, and they are en route right now to Effingham Country Club as they will be preparing for that sectional on Monday. And, Terry, you know, we were talking to Chad East today earlier, obviously the Carlinville football coach, talking to Jeff Eichhoff there with Hillsborough Golf, and football and golf are obviously, they're a little bit different.
Well, sure.
But when you talk, great is great.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very interesting in there that Coach Eichhoff, he said something that we hear Chad East today talk about consistently, the process.
Right.
And that's how you become great. Obviously, you have to have the talent, and both of those teams are extremely talented. But process.
Yes.
What is the process that you're going through to get ready to compete?
The process, the consistency, and the high expectations all work together in these successful programs. And that's why year in and year out, they're successful. And even if they have a down year, they're still pretty darn successful.
That's right. And this Hillsborough golf team, and they're just awesome.
They're poised. They're poised. I'm telling you, they're poised to make a run here.
So. I mean, they've been to state the last couple years, and it would be the upset of all upsets if they're not back there this year. Remember, the top three teams advanced out of the sectional, and I mean.
And Monday, we're looking at warm temperatures again. We're looking at, mid to upper 80s for the area and dry weather. So.
And then you bust out the stocking caps and long shirts for the state tournament.
For the state tournament. That's normal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
so.
That's normal.
Good luck to the toppers as they prepare today, and they will be in the Effingham St. Anthony sectional coming up on Monday. We need a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about an awesome event that happened earlier this week. Our friend Terry Tote had the soccer field at his park named after him. We'll talk about that next.
And once again, back to WSMI's Tim Mize.
Terry Tote, thank you very much, and welcome back to Sports Saturday. And on Thursday, out at the Raymond Park, Lincolnwood had their senior night. They took on the Williamsville Bullets. And before the ball game, they had a special ceremony. Here's Vern Pinkston.
Many, many years ago, Terry Tote helped to start the youth soccer program in Raymond. He helped form the Raymond Harville Sports Association. He served on its board for many years. And from this, the first youth soccer leagues began in Raymond. Terry had many jobs with the soccer association, including refereeing games, organizing concessions, etc. From 1993 to last year, for 24 years, Terry served on the Raymond Park Board. While on the park board, Terry worked very hard to get a soccer softball complex built. This became a reality in the early 2000s. Since then, Terry has spent countless hours painting the lines, fixing nets, cleaning restrooms, trimming the grass, and making the field look nice. Because of his many years of hard work and dedication to the park and the soccer program, the members of the Raymond Park Board, along with a lot of input from the community, we have decided to rename this soccer field. From this day forward, the field shall be known as Terry Tote RHSA Field. Thank you, Terry, for all that you've done.
And you could hear Terry's lifelong friend, Vern Pinkston, getting emotional there. Yeah. And Terry, I wish I could have been there, but I was in a combine on Thursday. But what an awesome event. And were you surprised?
Yeah, I was. It was senior night, and I thought they were needing a guy to do some PA work, you know. And I really hadn't been over to the park, hadn't felt strong enough to be over there, but I went over there, and all of a sudden I'm seeing people from work and seeing family members and going, something's up. And
something's amiss.
Something's amiss. And I remember going to Joe Webb, the head coach, and say, Joe, you got a roster here? And he said, well, we got something else planned. And I thought, oh, okay. So it was very, very kind of the park board to do that. So, in just let me say this about my former park board members, Ken Searles, Kent Weigehoff, Carl Walsh, and Vern Pinkston. This was a grant through the Illinois Department of Natural Resources and the Open Space and Land Acquisition Grant, the OSLA grant. One of the last grants before 9/11 hit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And, without them, this would not have happened. It was the park board. It was the village of Raymond, the civic organizations like the Kiwanis, the Raymond Harville Sports Association. A lot of people had a lot of hands in making this happen. It just was not me. So I'm quite honored. But really that representation has to be spread around to the other people that were involved in it, because it takes a lot of people to keep that up. And we have great coaches that take care of the facilities and don't abuse them, and it's a great I always thought that, you know, our kids in our area deserved a nice place to play. And that's what motivated me.
Right. So. And obviously, yeah, lots of people involved, and it takes a village, as I say, but it also takes a man with a vision. And you were that man. And you were bound and determined to make it happen. And if, you know, if you are anything, Terry, persistence
pays off, yes.
Yes, it does.
And seriously, it took about, from the time I got on the park board, it took about 8 years to whip up enough enthusiasm, financial backing, and get the grant written and approved before we could even start work on it. So, you know, it was a time-consuming thing, but it was well worth it. And, you know, the park here just recently, they Amy Brown and the Place to Play group improved the toys for the small kids. And has improved that aspect of it. So a lot of good things happening in our little communities, and I'm proud to have been part of it. So
Terry Tote, RHSA Field.
How about that? Got sectional semifinals and championship and a super sectional for the high school soccer, Class 1A
exactly
soccer,
right.
Scheduled to be held at the field. So that'll be coming up beginning in about a week. So
yeah, regionals have started today.
Regionals
started yesterday, actually.
Yeah, actually yesterday. And then we'll get into the semifinals and finals this week, and then sectional. I don't really remember how they set up the sectionals and the super sectionals. Normally, the super sectionals were like on a Monday, but it's been a few years since I've been involved in that. So, but yeah, a lot of time out there. But it was well worth it.
Absolutely,
so,
did a great job, man.
And
well deserved.
You know, and kudos to my family, because it takes time and took time away from them, and so yeah. But it's kind of neat.
Very neat.
It's very neat.
Very neat.
Very
it's
neat.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So,
and the Carlinville Regional going on this morning. Carlinville is taking on North Mac out at Loveless Park. Cavvy's the 6th seed. North Mac, the 10th seed, also in the Carlinville Regional. Remember, quarterfinal games played at the site of the better seed. So Springfield Lutheran is hosting Macomb in a 7-9 matchup. That regional will eventually be feeding into that Lincolnwood sectional. In the Freeburg Regional today, Valmeyer taking on Trenton Westland. That's also feeding in to Lincolnwood. And the Bree Central Regional has Roxana hosting Lebanon. That'll be a 1 o'clock start this afternoon. And it's just, this is the time of the year where things really start to pick up. We had the volleyball seeds yesterday. They've released the volleyball pairings. You can find that information on IHSA.org. Volleyball regional still a couple weeks away from getting underway. But 3 weeks from today, the road to Champaign.
Yeah. It's amazing how in the span of less than a month, all these fall sports start to come together for the postseason. And you know, the soccer and golf seasons tend to wrap up a little bit earlier. Volleyball postseason starts about the time football postseason begins. So it's a busy time of month or time of year. And before we know it, basketball will be here.
Well, and I was just going to say, you know what will be here before we know it is the T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer.
There you go.
Sponsored by Apex Physical Therapy. That'll be December 8th. In Carlinville. And Terry, I know we've talked about this over the years so many times. You've always longed to have a WISME basketball shootout.
Yeah, that was one thing that, you know, a wish list kind of thing, and among other things. That was certainly one thing, and it's come to fruition with your help and the help of Darren Deneve and Josh Stone and a lot of the athletic directors and coaches and really looking forward to it on December the 8th.
That's going to be a fun day of basketball.
It's going to be a fun day of basketball. So.
Absolutely. And all the money, it's all going to be raised for you this year. And then in future years, all the money is going to go to the Montgomery County Cancer Association, and they will disperse it out as they see fit.
And, you know, kudos to the organization, MCCA, for taking care of folks in Montgomery County and making sure that they have rides, making sure that, you know, if they get in a pinch and they need to have a house payment or a payment for utility bill or something like that, that's what they do. That's how they help area residents. So,
and not every
Not every
area
county
has
that.
Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So they, you know, kudos to the organization. So.
Yeah, so we are looking very much forward
yes.
to December
Absolutely.
The 8th. It'll be at Carlinville this year and then at your alma mater
yes.
the next year.
How about that? So it's going to be here before we know it.
Yes, it will.
Yeah.
It'll be a great day of hoops coming up December the 8th, the T-Tote Shootout versus Cancer, brought to you by Apex Physical Therapy.
By the way, Fighting Illini taking on Rutgers today. And
they're the favored.
Yeah, and 10 o'clock, so in about a minute here, coverage begins on WAOX 105.3 The Ox, and we'll see if the Fighting Illini can actually pick up a win.
Well, that would be weird.
You know,
if they don't win today, they might not win the rest of the year.
Well, and, you know, I think Lovie Smith probably has another year.
I sure hope so.
To work with. But the time is now to get it turned around. So
that's, well, and if we know anything about Illinois, they can be a little quick on the trigger.
Yes, they can. Yes,
but
they can.
Yeah, give them time.
Yeah.
The man needs time. Rome wasn't built in a day, and certainly the Illinois football program will not be.
That's for sure.
Oh, man.
That's for sure.
Hey, thanks to Chad Easterday and Aaron Duff, and special thanks to Jeff Eichhoff for all joining us this morning on Sports Saturday. Tito, take us home.
WSMI-FM, Litchfield Hills, Burl, Carlinville, and Greenville, your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. Have a great sporting weekend. It's 10 o'clock, and it's time now for the latest news.